Welcome to Invasion of Privacy, and today I have one of my closest friends, Ellie Brucia, is here.
Hello.
In from London.
Yeah.
What a gift. And so Elizabeth used to be my roommate for how many years did we live together?
About a year.
Was that it?
It was only about a year.
So funny. Yeah, because I lived in that same building for about 4.5 years, but I forget that you were only there for a year, but it felt like we lived together a long time. Like we really kind of solidified a lot living together. I feel like a lot was accomplished emotionally and spiritually in that year, if that makes sense.
Well, we were friends for a bit. We were close for a bit before that, and yeah, we've been close for a while ever since. So maybe that's why it feels more substantial. And it was a substantial time in our lives when we were living together, for sure.
And we'll definitely get into some of it without making you or, you know, because you can always share as much as you want. But first of all, the first thing I want to say about Elizabeth is she's the one that really introduced me and got me into tarot cards.
Mm-hmm. I was actually impressed because I remember I was reading for you and then you were just like, okay, let me read for you. You just right on the spot, just like took the deck and just started going for it. And I was actually really impressed by that. And you did very well right away, right
Thank
off the
you.
Bat. Yeah.
Well, Elizabeth had been reading since she was 16, and then you were picking it back up because you had kind of stopped a bit. You were now picking it back up at that time.
Yeah, I was 14 and then put it away for
14.
A long time. Yeah. And then like, I don't know, 30 or sometime in my early 30s, I picked it up again.
And you had a book that you were still using as you picked it back up. So when I kind of took the deck and did it with you, I was also using that book at the time mm-hmm. that you were using to kind of, you know, so like,
yeah.
I was like, okay, huh? And I'd read the book and then I'd feel into it myself. But you really inspired me, not just with tarot cards, but I kind of, you know, we'll get into it. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. But Elizabeth also went to, what high school did you go to? LaGuardia?
Oh, well, that's a spotty history for me. But yeah, I did get accepted to LaGuardia and then I went there for a bit. Yeah.
Well, because you got accepted for
performing singing.
Arts.
Yeah, for vocal music and dance. Yeah. But I chose vocal music as my major.
Elizabeth has one of the most amazing singing voices and she's one of the most talented musicians and healers. And when we were living together, we worked on a music video for her that you guys can check out called Black.
Mm-hmm. I love that video. That was such a fun project too. Such good memories.
But yeah, I've always loved your singing abilities, your music. You've always inspired me in so many ways.
Oh, thank you. I could reciprocate the same about you. You're so talented and so creative.
Thank you, Ellie. So let me ask you some questions. So I get to interview one of my closest friends. When you were young, when you were 14 and you started reading tarot, like how did that come about? Were you always really tuned in and tapped in to like spirits? Because now I know like Yimanye or Yimanya is
yeah.
a mermaid goddess spirit that you work with all the time. You mm-hmm. literally call yourself the mer priestess on YouTube.
Yeah.
So she's an entity you work with. So I want to know, like, I want to get into the history of when all this started opening up. And yeah, so.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. So I guess to start going way back. Well, first of all, I was actually, because I'm staying with my mom right now. Because New York is my hometown. So when I come here, I stay with my fam. But anyway, yeah. Ever since I was a kid, I've had like strange ghostly experiences. And it's funny that I didn't end up becoming a medium. But
can you speak to spirits like that? Like things that people have passed? And
oh, no, I wouldn't say that I'm particularly mediumistic. It's strange that I'm not, because I would say when I was a kid, I did have experiences where I was sent to bed and I didn't want to go to sleep yet. I think a lot of little kids experience this. They're like, I'm not tired. I don't want to go to sleep. So I would go to bed and I would just be wide awake in the dark. And there have been some incidences that I had growing up through the years where objects would move by themselves. I would hear breathing next to me, but no one was there, like things like that.
At how young, like what age did that start about?
Oh, I don't know, but definitely I was a kid, like six or so probably, when that stuff started happening periodically. And then I also was just, I was always open to spirituality. I wasn't raised Catholic. You were asking me this earlier today. I wasn't, my family is Catholic, but I, as the youngest child, and I guess you get lazy with the youngest kid. They did with my older sister, the communion and everything. But with me, they were like, oh, you believe in God? You're good. Whatever. You don't have to go to church. We don't have to do all that. But I always was interested, and I actually wanted to go to church and things like that. I think I've always just been really open to spirituality and the spiritual realm. I've always been really interested in it. I'm really interested in the hidden things, the esoteric. And I realize about myself also that I'm really keen on magic, like keen on looking at, I mean, I look at life and I believe that life is magical, you know? And it's just this really awe-inspiring experience when you do connect to that. I hope that answered your question. So when I was 14 years old, it seemed like a very random occurrence, but it was one little thing that definitely changed my life, and you could say, in a way, because I was just in a bookstore one day in my neighborhood, you know, shop. And I saw a deck and I was like, OK, I'm taking that home right away. Like as soon as I heard about astrology, I was like, what's this? This is interesting. And it seemed like such an arbitrary thing at the time. But me and my best friend, who was also at the time really open to this stuff as well, we would read for each other, read for our friends. We bought books teaching ourselves tarot, and it was a really cool thing to delve into, because then we learned about, well, all sorts. I mean, once you open that up, it's just a whole world, and you start working with your intuition and developing it and learning about the especially the major arcana in the tarot. You learn about all these different figures and connect with them, and it's incredibly powerful.
Can you list for me some of your favorite major arcana cards and why, like some of the messages? I can always, you know, chime into with my own, but I would love to hear what are some of your favorite major arcanas.
Well, you know, my favorite one is the High Priestess.
I love the High Priestess. Yes.
You know what happened for me once was one day I meditated with the High Priestess card early in my journey. I really recommend meditating with the cards. And I got this feeling of serenity. She really emits this strong yet sort of silent wisdom, like she just knows things and she holds information, and yet she has also this, she's so powerful yet she's so serene. And I just really tapped into that and really admired that energy, and so definitely she's one of my favorites. Let me think, what are some other ones that I really love? Well, I love the Empress. She just has the most beautiful energy.
I love her too. And she's, in my deck at least, I'm sure it's in all, but she's the three, correct? Mm-hmm. And three stands for creativity, communication, mm-hmm. Comedy. And that the three goes with that for me, of like mm-hmm. this creative, feminine, artistic flow.
Yeah. I also really like the Magician. I'm talking about all the early cards right now. But I really like the Magician because he has a different kind of wisdom to the High Priestess, but another really awesome kind of mastery where I think mastery is actually a really good word for him, where he understands how everything works. And he then uses that in conscious creation. And I just think he's so cool.
That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Conscious creation.
Yeah. Nowadays, I'm really respecting the Hanged Man.
Yeah.
I'm really respecting what that's about, the Hanged Man, because it's about surrender. And it's about like going to another level. but needing to surrender to do that.
I love that.
Yeah, needing to let go. It's a really powerful one.
And in my deck, and it might be in the deck you use too, but the Hanged Man has like this glow coming from his, not just his crown chakra, but his entire head, which mm-hmm. goes with what you're saying of
the when halo, you're, yeah.
Yeah, like when you're feeling stuck or have chronic fatigue like Ellie and I.
Oh, yeah.
Both some I share right now. Even in that place where you're not moving quite as quickly as you want, there's tons of enlightenment. And moving that can happen. I hope it's okay that I'm adding to yours. Ellie's, once again, the person that really originally taught me tarot. So, and we've both very much intuitively, empathically have felt into each card. And we both, for the most part, I mean, we have our own takes on it, but we really, I guess, have very similar feels into these messages.
Yeah, I love hearing your input. Yeah. Oh, I also love judgment.
Oh, yeah. Speaking Talk to me about judgment.
Because I think the Hanged Man is a sort of card about spiritual awakening, initiation, ascension. Mm. But the judgment card, it's like a lot of images show like a trumpet call and corpses awakening. You know, it's just...
It's the wake up zombies card. No, yeah, that's a mean way of putting it. But it's the like a big wake up call.
Oh, yeah. It's very powerful. I love that. It's a card of awakening. Yeah, I just love it.
And Elizabeth also makes, I don't know, do you sell them online, the products that you've been making? Because she brought me this. Mm-hmm. This mermaid spray that is incredible, and she like charges water by the full moon and adds essential oils. So right now, if you want to even say your website, because you have to check out, she makes a lot of her products and they are insanely high vibrational.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it's something that I'm starting to do more and more of, and I'm really enjoying it. So yeah, you could go to my website, themyrrhpriestess.com, and if you go to my shop, you could see what I have for sale right now. And yeah, I've started, and I'll probably do more of it. I've started making my own incenses, moon charged bath salts, some sprays. I have a heart chakra tea, and I also have a cookbook ebook out now as
well.
That's
amazing.
Yeah. So I've been definitely getting into making things and working more and more with earth-based magic, you could call it. Yeah.
And it's funny that, because in my mind, I'm like, oh my gosh, you're doing so much. And yet I know you and I both feel like we're not moving as quickly as we want. Mm-mm. But then seeing it from the outside, I'm like, holy crap, like you're making all these really amazing products. And today, Elizabeth and I, when I was eating lunch in front of Elizabeth, we weren't really eating together. You had just eaten. You were telling me about some of your favorite essential oils that I'd love for you to share, because I'm such a huge proponent of essential oils, because, you know, not that I'm against pharmaceutical medication. I'm really not against it. But I think we really need to start going more to plant medicine. And I loved how knowledgeable you are. And I asked her what her favorite essential oil is, and I'll let you share it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, gosh, I love so many scents, but I have to say my favorite is frankincense. And I was sharing with Kate that so I had someone who mentored me for a few years. Her name is Jacqueline Dubois. She has a great YouTube channel. I love her. But one of the first things she taught me was actually about frankincense. And she said that it's corresponds to the sun and it's protective. And it actually draws in interdimensional beings. And
fuck yeah.
Yeah. So I also heard that second only to the rose, it's one of the highest vibrating scents out there. I think there was actually a study done that measured the frequency of the different scents. So rose is number one, but frankincense is a close second. And it's protective, it's purifying. So you could use it in a space before you do a reading or before you do a ceremony. And it really does lift up the vibes in your space. It really helps with meditation. It really helps to elevate your mood if you're feeling down. It helps with insomnia. And I just love it. I just think it's the most wonderful scent.
And I was saying, Jesus smoked frankincense and myrrh. So if you guys all want to be like Jesus, he smoked it.
I didn't know that. I know that as I was sharing with you earlier today, I know that the Magi, the story of Jesus Christ's birth, the Magi brought him frankincense, myrrh, and gold. And actually, so myrrh is actually the divine, linked to the divine feminine and the moon. And frankincense is the divine masculine and the sun. So it's the king energy and the queen energy and the gold. I heard this somewhere. Actually, it's someone wrote an article about this who runs a place called the Frankincense Store in London. And that's where I believe they have the best frankincense in the world. But yeah, they were saying that the gold represents the gold that comes from the merging of the feminine and the masculine, the king and the queen. I thought that was a really beautiful symbology.
I love that. And then we were also talking about our love for lavender. I just bought lavender.
Oh, yeah.
And I would love to hear what lavender does.
Oh, my gosh. It's like a cure-all. You could use it for everything. You could use it for...
AIDS. Herpes.
Okay. Maybe it's not a miracle worker.
When you get those cold sores, dump some lavender on it. You're good. You don't even need a condom anymore. You're good.
Okay, so maybe I should tweak what I just said a bit.
I'm such an asshole.
No.
Like, oh, really? Everything? Everything.
Okay, so just to throw some examples out there, just to clarify. So, it's a purifier, first of all. Lavender comes from the word lavar, which means to wash. And so... you can use it. I actually use it as a hand sanitizer. I just get a pump spray, a bottle, and put some water, maybe some witch hazel, and lavender essential oil, and I use it as a hand sanitizer.
That's incredible.
First of all. And then it's good for your woman's hormones, like balancing the hormones, or if they're having like menstrual discomfort or PMS.
Oh, my God.
I mean, a lot of people know that it helps you to sleep and it's calming. I mean, it does tons of things. I use it on my skin because if I have pimples, I use it as a spot. It's one of the few essential oils, because essential oils are quite potent and usually you'd need something to go with it to dilute it. But lavender is one of the few oils out there that you can put directly onto your skin. So I use it as a spot treatment because it also it's like disinfecting. So... yeah. If I have a pimple, I'll just rub some lavender essential oil right on it. And yeah, you could use it for skincare for that purpose to help keep it clear.
I love that.
It just does tons of amazing. It's just a mood elevator. Yeah, it's just really great. I love it. I use tons of it.
I love how knowledgeable you are on all these things. Like even when it comes to astrology, you know, you really do. You have a ton of knowledge in all these different areas that are related to healing and awakening. And I think it's so freaking cool.
Yeah. I mean, there's still lots more about astrology that I could learn and even essential oils. But yeah, I definitely, maybe it's because I'm a Gemini sun. I like to acquire information.
I love it. I remember, I have to tell this story too. When Elizabeth and I were living together, so there's this tarot card reader. She sits, I don't know if she does it when it's cold. She sits in Union Square Park. Her name's Uversa. Mm-hmm. And she does readings. Like you could just go right up to her. Sometimes there's a line, but you know, Elizabeth had found her and she comes home and she's like, oh my God, there's this amazing magical woman, Uversa. Like I had the most amazing, magical, intense reading. She saw that I'm like this goddess. Like Elizabeth had the most amazing reading. She's like, you gotta go, you gotta go. And I was like, okay. So like, I think I went that week and went up to Uversa. And I was like so excited. I was like, I can't wait for her to tell me I'm a goddess and this and that. And I sat down and she like pulled the cards and she just looks at me and she goes, girl, you got problems of the heart. And she just spent like 15 minutes lecturing me. I mean, and I couldn't take it in at the moment, but I remember I was like so pissed. She like treated me like I was like 14 and like lecturing me about boys. And then I came back to the house. You were like, how was it? And I was like, it was bullshit. And I remember like telling you everything she said and seeing your face being like, it sounds like everything you've been complaining about. Like, I just remember you being like, it sounds like it's really accurate. And then I was like, shit, it was. She just didn't say all the stuff I like wanted to hear. You know what I mean? But it was so funny.
Yeah, I remember you saying, but this was such a conscious thing to say. You were like, my ego was pissed. But you know what? I think that's actually in a way complimenting you, because I think she tells people what she knows they can handle. And for me, it was very coddling, you know, like looking back, she's like, oh, girl, you're a goddess, this, that. And I'm like, ooh, you know, like elevated. But, you know, what you needed was a little kick in the pants.
Yeah.
And she knew that you, I mean, yeah, on some level, she must have known that you could handle it, because you are a very strong lady.
Thank you. But I do get kicked in the emotional, spiritual dick a lot. But I get back up. I always get back up. Would you pull a card for all the listeners right now? So I'm going to have Elizabeth pull a card for all of you guys, just a message to take in. She's one of the best tarot card readers ever. Like, I'm not just saying that. They're very, very, I think they're about maybe like 3 or 4 card readers that I'd actually go to. Because you want to make sure that they're a pretty clear channel before you take in their message. And Elizabeth is just, for real, one of the best readers out there that I know of. I'm sure there are others. I don't know all of them, but she's amazing.
I may have to put the mic down for a second.
Okay, you put it down while you shuffle. And I wanted to, what deck do you use, by the way?
Well, this is actually a new one. This is actually a new one that I just bought. Because I forgot
it's beautiful.
I forgot to bring my deck with me when I came here. I live in London nowadays. I don't live in
New York.
So
what's it called?
It's called the Sacred Rose Tarot. It's a new Whoa. One I'm trying out. And yeah, it's pretty cool.
I love roses. I love all flowers.
Oh my
but
God.
Roses are incredible.
Yeah, my favorite.
Oh yeah.
So, all right, let me...
Nothing like having a microphone stuck like right in your face as you meditate.
As you're trying to,
she's like, let me meditate. And I have it like a penis right up to her nose.
Okay, so let's see. What do we need to hear? What do we need to hear?
So this is a message for all the listeners. I'll take it in as well, because why the hell not?
Ooh. Okay.
Can you imagine? She's like, ooh, you're all going to die.
Okay. Well, I want to feel into this a bit.
Okay.
Okay. So.
It's 8 of Cups. Can I say that?
Yeah. Yeah. Sorry. I am not immediately, because I'm not immediately sharing, because I'm feeling into this right now.
It's a powerful card. Can I describe what it looks like?
Go for it.
It's this, oh my God, it's like this almost witch woman is how I would describe her. Her hair is like an amber whipping in the wind. It's like an amber brown.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge moon that her hair is almost like kind of whipping around. And then she has these like beautiful golden 8 cups in a basket that she's holding.
Yeah.
But it's a very intense witchy card.
Yeah. So the moon really does display prominently in this card. And also I'm noticing the stars in the background. Mm. And so what this is coming across as to me is an astrological influence. So there's some sort of astrological placement that's coming up for us. If you're listening, this probably applies to you, meaning like it probably will have relevance for you in some sort of way, some sort of influence. And it has to do with the stars as well as the moon. So like the other planets.
Can you describe what you mean by that, like astrological influence?
So, yeah, if you like, for example, people talk about Mercury retrogrades, or they talk about a sign moving into a certain planet. And like, for example, just offhand, I'm not saying this is necessarily it, but people are buzzing right now in the astrology community about how Capricorn will be, Saturn will be in Capricorn soon. So, and Saturn is an important planet because it has to deal with karma. Yeah, but I'm getting it's a combination of what other planets are doing, but it's also very much the moon. And come to think of it, but you won't be publishing this until afterwards, but there is a full moon coming up in a few days. Wow. But I'm feeling that we are going to really be, so her hair You were saying it looks like it's
whipping.
It looks as if the moon is sort of magnetizing her hair to go upwards. Mm-hmm. And so I think this is representing that we're definitely going to be tuning into that and also very influenced by that. And the goblets look like something like almost like treasures that she's acquiring in a basket here. It's like in a these goblets in a golden goblets in a basket. And I just feel like and then it looks down here like they're under clouds. So again, it's like this heavenly influence. So I feel like there's going to be, for a lot of people who are listening probably, really good things in store, like harnessing some gold, harnessing some treasure. But there's also going to be a lot that, so as an astrological influence, but there's also going to be a lot that's going to bring up stuff for us. And it's going to maybe even provoke us or bring things up. Like, because like I said, the hair looks like it's being magnetized upwards. It's almost like drawing out and drawing up things within us. So a lot of stuff is going to emerge and be brought up. But through that process, we're actually collecting gold.
I love that.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. And I love, you know, it's like in order to accumulate and alchemize the gold within, yeah, you know, because as within, as without, or whatever the phrase is, but you kind of have to get triggered and deal with the issues. And I love reminding us all that, you know, we forget that we are influenced astrologically by the moon, the stars, planets, mm-hmm, and we often forget how connected we are to all of these things. And like, it doesn't mean you obsess over it like, oh, my God, when's the next planet going to go into retrograde? Because then this is going to happen to me. But it's good to remember and be aware of like, oh, well, that thing is happening. And I know I'm always affected in full moons. Always. Mm-hmm. So, and I think all of us are. I mean, literally animals, right? They, yeah, howl at the moon. They're affected. They get a little more wild. And we are animals. We're in tune to all of this, but we forget. So.
Yeah, it's really potent, and some of us may be more aware of it than others, but definitely it has an influence over us. And yeah, I think it's a good thing. I think in some ways it will feel a bit challenging because it's going to bring up stuff, but it also feels like a gift. So I just wanted to add that as well. Like, I feel like there are treasures in store for us.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
And also, even if you're listening to this podcast and this is like a year or two after this, like you can still for real take in that message because you're hearing it now.
Yeah.
For a reason.
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm really glad you mentioned that, actually. Yeah.
Because some people, I love it when they're like, oh, I just found your podcast on this one episode, which is like 2 years ago. But that's where they need to be listening to that one for whatever reason. So mm-hmm, it doesn't even matter. Like, we're always having full moons every month.
Oh, yeah.
So no matter what, you can take that in if you want to take it in.
Yeah.
All right. I want to ask you some more questions and just get into. So when I lived with Elizabeth, I had literally, I was just transitioning from teaching to doing comedy full time. I was not yet getting money for tarot readings or any of that kind of stuff. I actually started that because Elizabeth was reading tarot at the Brooklyn Bazaar. And then when you left to move, Tim and I actually took over the Brooklyn Bazaar table for a bit. And that's when I first started making money off of doing healing work. But we started living when I had just quit teaching and Elizabeth had been living in Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. And you decided to, which was awesome, to do the trek and come out to Jersey City with me. And I would just love to get into, because we're talking about what a transitory, if that's the right word,
yeah,
time it was. And you know, something we both really were relating and were able to relate to each other on, which your song Black really gets into, is like the dark parts of life and really allowing yourself to go there, whether it's like romantic stuff, career stuff. But like we really both were in this place where I think a lot of our dark parts were coming up and we were really a support system. But I would love to hear your take on, yeah, the song Black that you wrote. You don't have to go into like details of it, but just like, and you were kind of saying it before I think we started, which was you got triggered earlier and cursed at a woman and then felt really bad. Like, wait, I'm supposed to be this spiritual being. And I just, because I want to kind of tie that all together. Like, to be on a healing, awakening, conscious path does not mean you don't have moments where you accidentally lose your cool or where you're upset over a guy or a girl. So I kind of just want to hear what your take is, as well as what you were going through at that time. Because the song Black, I mean, it's one of my favorite songs, and I don't know, I think it's really special.
Yeah, it definitely explores some dark, some darkness. I don't know if I ever actually shared this with you, but the first few lyrics were inspired by the opening lines of Lolita, the novel Lolita. And so how did that novel open? It was like, Lolita, love of my life, lust of my loins, my sin, my soul, look at this tangle of thorns. And then he just goes into this really messed up, messy story. I guess I was like just exploring in that song the messiness and the hairiness of, you know, relationships can get really messy, you know. And actually that EP, that whole EP, you actually gave me the idea for the title and I loved it. So I went with it, Cracked Open, because I was in a relationship with someone and it was messy. It was hairy. It was, but it cracked me open, you know.
Is it the person I introduced you to? Is it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Oh, yes. And, yeah, so, but that was an exploration, that song, of that. And, I wish I could, I feel like I'm not being very articulate right now, but I wish I could explain better, but that's, I think, the best I can do right now. But I really appreciate you bringing up darkness, because I feel like I'm still very much needing to work on that, and I'm in a place on my spiritual journey where I am and need to a lot more really explore my own inner darkness and accept it and even integrate it. What was the other thing? What was the other thing you mentioned? Sorry.
I forget. We're talking about what we were going through. I mean, I would love to, real quick, with the Cracked Open, you know, it's because also we were both in such a place where we were talking almost every day about how we both felt cracked open in different ways. Mm-hmm. And yet, yeah, like we were both so cracked open and we'd spend a lot of time like talking about boys and heartbreak. And yet we'd also have tarot cards out everywhere and you'd be cooking healthy vegan food in the kitchen. And we called our apartment The Haven. It just had this really healing energy. And yet very much included in it was this like boy drama and heartache. And I think it just goes to show that like the healing path, or whatever you'd call it, doesn't exclude stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think a lot of us judge the messy, like, oh my God, I'm still doing this behavior that I shouldn't be doing. Like, says who? We're messy humans, you know?
Yeah.
It doesn't mean you don't want to heal and shift your self-worth. So things, you know, obviously we do want to live harmonious lives. But I don't think you can avoid, if you really want to go there, you kind of have to allow yourself to be cracked open. Or in my school, they'd say a shattering. Mm-hmm. You know, it's those cracks that allow the light in.
Yeah.
And I think we were definitely living together when lots of shatterings were taking place. And it was, you know, for me, I was, and I'm not saying I'm out of this completely, but there were a lot of times of crying and pain. And also I lived up. So Ellie had the room that I then took when she moved out. I was up in the loft space with Shane, and like it wasn't fully closed off, which was tough as well. I chose it, but it was like, I felt so open and exposed and no privacy. So to also have all this pain coming up, but not even be able to like fully cry without everyone hearing was an interesting juxtaposition.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I think first of all, it's really interesting how our relationships are incredibly mirroring. And when we have intimate relationships is when a lot of our crap in our crazy comes out usually for a lot of people. But there are incredible opportunities for growth and healing and working with all of that. And it's interesting, though. But then again, you know, I feel like people have different aspects of their lives. And then you can be like you were saying, yeah, I ate healthy and did yoga and we had this haven of a home. But I feel like people have different compartments of their lives. And I feel like it's usually the ones that are the most challenging that we probably need to address the most. But we also tend to avoid wanting to address the most.
Yeah.
And yeah, definitely I had some healthy, quote unquote, healthy things going on. But when it came to my relationships, definitely not healthy. But I think that this, the person that I was attracted to and had this relationship with, I was attracted to his own toxicity, actually. He definitely had some emotional issues and had toxicity about him, and there was definitely a part of me that resonated with that. Looking back on this, this is what I see.
And I think right you now. Also, I mean, I hate to cut in, but
yeah.
He is still a friend. And even though I don't talk to him often, he's also just a beautiful, lovely, sensitive person. And both of you,
yeah,
in many ways, yeah. Had similarities there too. Of mm-hmm. You know, I just want to say that, like, because often we're attracted to the toxicity that mirrors our own. But I have to say, it wasn't just that. Like, it was clear when seeing you guys together that there was also a real bond, a kinship. And I'm trying to feel into it.
He's a very intuitive, sensitive guy. Yeah. That's the thing. It's I think sometimes the ones who feel the most guard themselves the most. Because yes. There's so much vulnerability there. He's a very sensitive, intuitive guy. Definitely we had a connection. But then, yeah, there was also the other stuff. So, yeah.
It's just so funny how, like, and I don't have the answers here, but we spend so much of our lives navigating to not feel those kinds of places. And I'm not saying we should feel whatever that was going on then, right? Because in many ways it felt gutted out. At least for me in that period of time, I felt very gutted a lot of the time, mm-hmm. which wasn't the person's fault that I was at the time very into. But it is interesting that we have something like that or some things like that where you have several relationship after relationship repeating it. And then you go, oh, I don't want to ever feel that again. And it's interesting because I think we all want to find the balance of feeling totally alive, allowing ourselves to have these triggers that mirror for us, but then also making sure it's healthy and stable and not whatever gutted out all the time. Because no one wants to go through their day, their entire day is feeling gutted out. But yeah, it was an interesting time. I don't want to bring up like two, you know what I mean? Because you know me, I could start bringing up the most personal shit and I don't want to do that. Yeah. Do you want to say anything?
Well, now I remember the other thing that you mentioned that I wanted to, I guess, comment on. I think you were commenting on how I cussed a woman out in Penn Station the other day. Yeah, so it's funny. I haven't done anything like this in a while, but it's such a New York thing.
And she cursed at you first.
Oh yeah, she did. Yeah. So
so you got triggered. I mean, there was a woman being really nasty, and I don't think it was planned. I think you responded.
Oh yeah. I just went off, like, I got triggered and then I exploded like a bomb. Like she pushed my button and then I went boom. Yeah. so this is really funny because I feel like, and this is really good for me to say out loud because it's just such a good reminder. I feel like humans are so forgetful and I feel like we constantly need to remind ourselves of things. But for me, I've noticed that since delving more into spirituality and the esoteric and all of those things, I've actually been less accepting of my hot temper and my bitchiness and my impatience. Because, yeah, I have those tendencies as well as, you know, I can be sweet and all those other qualities. So, you know, living in London, you know, not that there aren't ever rude people and I've never had a confrontation, but it's definitely different in New York. And so my first day back in New York visiting, there was this woman in Penn Station who was very rude to me. And I didn't realize I was in her way. She was watching a busker. And I walked right in front of her so that I could look at a screen to see the train times. And she was incredibly rude, like, get out of the way. I'm trying to watch this guy perform. And I was like, okay, well, I want to look at the train times and you could ask me more nicely. And she was like, I don't care. And she was like, fuck you, bitch.
Wow.
And then as soon as she said the F word, I just snapped and I was like, fuck you, bitch.
What happened after that?
I stormed off.
Yeah.
She was still yelling, like, and I was like, we borderline got into each other's face, and I just walked away. Like, my eyes almost popped out of my head, too. I was just really triggered.
Yeah.
And it was really funny because my husband, who's born and raised in London, I storm off, and then I'm like, wait, where is he? Right. And he's still there. He's still at the scene.
And he's such a calm, like, steady, amazing. Like, he's probably, did he see it happen?
Oh, he saw everything. And yeah. His eyebrows were raised. And I think he was just really slow to respond at all because he was just shocked.
Yeah.
He was just like, what? Like, it's just not as common a thing, you know? And so he was just very slow to respond because he was in shock over the whole thing. And there I was, like, right away, boom, and then storming off. And then turning around being like, wait, where'd he go? Are you with me? Where'd you go?
Hi, Henry. Henry's another amazing tarot card reader. We were talking about him a little bit earlier because the way he reads is so different than the way you and I read. But he's like so on the money, too. But he delivers it like it's so fun. He gets right in there and it's like a quick. It's like so blunt, but still with love. But he's another powerful being. I just wanted to shout out Henry.
Oh, yeah. He's really deeply studied the tarot and just the occult in general. Very, yeah.
Well, you two met at a tarot meetup group mm-hmm. in London.
Yeah, we did.
I love that.
Yeah. Literally like 5 days after I arrived in London, I met him at a tarot meetup event. I sat down right next to him and and the rest is history, I guess.
Well, you didn't start dating him right away, though, right?
No, not until.
Almost like right about when you almost left to come back.
Yep. Isn't that funny?
I remember that because you and I got dinner as soon as you came back and we didn't know, like we thought you might be back in New York. Like we didn't know because you had to leave. And you were sad to be back, essentially. Yeah. And you were like, well, I just started dating this guy. Now it's going to be long distance. Like, you guys had to do long distance on Skype, really.
Yep.
For months and months.
Yeah. Yeah, for like 9 months, we were doing long distance. And then we decided to get married. And then, that solved the problem of how I was going to move back to England. And I love it there. I really love it there.
Yeah, well, England's been calling you. When Elizabeth and I were living together in Jersey City, it was like London. Like, you were getting called there.
Yeah. And I would love to have you in England because...
I want to go!
It's such a magical place with sacred sites that I would just love to take you to, like, a stone circle and see what happens. Be like, Kate, what do you feel?
I'm just laying down weeping and I'm like, they're all here. You're like, who? I'm like, they're all here.
Yeah, it's a beautiful country and and London, I love London. It's also everyone has their own chemistry with different places. I really believe, by the way, that places have guardian spirits and they have their own essence, their own spirit, and we have relationships with them like we have relationships with people. And so, you know, some people may not mix very well with London. I definitely do. I think it's a beautiful city and it has tons of history and magical, interesting spots there too, which I have yet to really I feel like I'm really called to be there. at this time, at least, if not permanently. And I'm still exploring. I need to explore London more, but also more sacred sites. There's like places that are considered sacred wells. People believe that like they brought certain wells in the UK, around the UK, bring healing.
Oh, wow. I mean, I believe it. I'm sure there are certain. Yeah. Because, you know, I gave Elizabeth a crystal that I had dug up from a place in upstate New York. And some of these wells, the water lies within a ton of different sacred crystals and rocks, and it charges the water. It makes sense. There's everything's energy.
Yeah. I mean, there's sacred places like all everywhere. Over, but there's definitely different flavors.
Yeah.
You know?
You've traveled all over too.
I'm trying to. I'm definitely an enthusiast. In the last few years, I feel really grateful that I have been able to. Japan is another place I want to go. I went to Kyoto and absolutely loved it. And I went to this place called Fushimi Inari. Mm. And people make pilgrimages when they go there.
Wow.
You do this hike. And if it's said that if you do the whole hike, it's like an initiation. It's like a sort of rebirth. And when I was there, I think I told you this story already, but when I was there, I was feeling, it's strange because it felt like this, I felt this eeriness in the air, but I wasn't scared at the same time. I was like connecting with it and appreciating it, even though it felt really like raw and kind of wild.
But I love that.
Yeah. Well, they believe out there in, their indigenous tradition, a spiritual tradition, is Shintoism, which means the way of the spirits. So they believe in animism. They believe in objects, all sorts of things, even like rivers and nature. They all have spirits and they can be aids to us. They can help us. And they're closer to the realm of humans and the earth. They're like a notch up, know. So, but they're still connected enough with the earthly plane that they can work with us and help us with certain matters. And walking around there, I felt something, but I was like, "This is awesome!" Like it was eerie as hell. But at the same time, I wasn't even scared.
I've seen some pictures that pop up on Instagram and I'm like, where is that? And it's like Japan. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Forests.
Yeah.
There are it's like pure magic.
Oh yeah. Well, Reiki, originated in Japan. I actually did that hike. The Usui, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right. A trail that you can hike just outside of Kyoto. And it's in those forests, that the mountainous foresty area, that it said that he received those Reiki symbols and then shared Reiki with the world. That's where, like, around where he's from. So I did that trail, but I wasn't tuning into anything because it was just such a strenuous hike. It was such a long but really cool hike, and we passed so many Shinto shrines on the way. It was really cool. Yeah.
Man, I wish it were a little nicer out. I would love to take you there's this one place near here that has such a witchy fairy vibe, and they literally, there's one trail called the Fairy Trail where they have like little houses that people have made dedicated to these fairies.
I would love that.
Yeah. Next time you're in, if it's like a little bit warmer, I'm definitely going to take you. And the other cool thing about you with traveling is now you go a lot with Henry, but what I've always admired is you'll go to a place by yourself. And I have always admired that because I'm too scared of going alone, whether it's because it's another language or whatever. Like, I don't think it's just because of the language. That's a piece of it. But I've always admired your bravery of being able to travel just by yourself. I'm just not, I don't have that yet.
Thank you. Yeah. Well, I remember when we were living together, I went on a 2-week trip to Italy. Well, 1 week was
with
my dad.
You met like a vampire.
Oh, my goodness. Yes, I did.
That's mean of me to say. But
not literally, by the way.
Yeah, no. I mean, because I do believe actually there are some vampire-like beings out there. He was not. But he like some qualities that did remind me of. He had some vampire-like qualities. Oh, yeah. I remember saying that and you were dying laughing. And I'm like, I'm such a bitch. Talk about including your bitchiness as part of the thing. I can be, yeah. I never said it to his face, obviously.
No.
Elizabeth and I have the kind of friendship where I can say anything to her and she'll just laugh because she knows I have a good heart. But I, yeah. It's not nice. I'm sure he was a kind soul.
Well, you're so good with honesty, which I love, you know?
Thank you.
And I feel like because you handle it so well, I feel like you make it easier for other people to handle.
What do you mean?
You know? You're very good at handling uncomfortable situations.
I just snorted. Maybe a little too good. I'm like, how can I make this weirder?
You're so like, you can handle the things that are raw, you know? And I feel like somehow with you, like, being, I mean, not that you're not uncomfortable ever. Of course, you get uncomfortable, I'm sure. But I feel like you're just so more like willing to be raw and honest. And then I just feel like it almost as if supports other people.
Thank you.
This is my personal observation. It supports other people to be able to do the same. I don't know.
No, I appreciate that. I mean, I was telling you even yesterday, this podcast will be out. I mean, the timeline's all messed up as people listen. But I got into a fight with someone while podcasting, and it was such an uncomfortable, and I have to give it to him too, because we both handled that really well. But I remember being in it being like, how do I navigate this? This is so intense and hot.
Oh, yeah. Sounds intense.
Yeah. And I think, thank you. I appreciate what you're saying. Cause I think at the end of the day, it's being able to be honest, raw, but then also kind. Right.
Oh yeah.
Because there are some people, especially in comedy, that are good at the like raw and honest part, but then they don't know how to still be open hearted within that. So it's like, oh, I'm going to tell you how I think, but fuck you, you know?
Yeah.
And it's like, I try to be raw and open, but even if I do say fuck you an hour or two later, I'm like, I didn't mean it. I love you. Like, I try to bring that in with the raw and honest, because it has to be there. Otherwise, it's just mean, really.
No, that's actually, that's true. I see that. You are really good at also being gentle in a way, and kind and open hearted and loving. So, yeah.
I try.
Yeah.
But yeah. We all get triggered. We all have our moments. Yeah. I've definitely learned through, you know, the journey of life, I guess, you know, because we fall so many times and we lash out. We call strange women bitches, you know, like,
yeah.
I've gone through where I've learned. And I was talking, I think, about this on the last podcast that'll be out. It's like the balance of expressing yourself, allowing yourself to be raw, but then also not using that as an excuse to just yell at everyone and be like, I'm just being raw, you know? It's like, how can you walk that path of being a kind-hearted person, but then also not stifling your truth or your feelings? Because you don't want to do the spiritual bypass of like, just let it go, non-attachment, let it go, you know, don't give, but don't expect, like, you want to be able to be open-hearted and surrender and give open-heartedly while also really maintaining healthy boundaries, speaking your mind. And also, like, this is going to sound so random, but like, also like the spirit, there's a spiritual bypass in this friend zone stuff that I'm seeing. Like, there's so many spiritual people who don't speak up basic things like jealousy, territorial shit, whatever, because they're like, oh, it's all fine, it's all good. And it's like, you can still apply the basic of like, no one wants to be friend zoned, or, you know, no one wants to like share the sandwich they just bought with everyone around them. Like, you're still allowed to have boundaries and a right to speak up and a right to be a jealous bitch without acting out it or stabbing anyone. But like,
yeah.
I've just seen a lot of this, once again, spiritual bypass. And I'm not saying I'm not guilty of it in my own ways. I found out this year that I have my own, and my school, they call it split Bria, where I'm like, aliens, you know, I don't need to be here. My alien friends are waiting for me. But yeah, it's like, yeah, you're allowed to have these innate rights that we feel, but then when we also think we're like fucked up for having, like, oh my God, yeah, I'm obsessing, or I just got jealous, I just got rageful. It's like, there's a way to be kind and try to not lash out while also.
Yeah. Like, yeah. Can't we just start like being more gentle with ourselves and being like, yeah, I'm jealous, and be compassionate with ourselves about that, you know, like,
instead of trying to like beat it away. Yeah.
Yeah. And also I do think that there can be a balance struck in asserting your truth and asserting your boundaries and still being gentle and kind with other people.
Yeah.
Definitely. And I also have, this is another thing I need to remind myself, but I think that when you are speaking your truth and setting your boundaries, it actually does, it can be a loving act towards others because you're having integrity with other people in your relationships with them. If you're like saying, no, it's okay, and it's not fucking okay, don't you think that's hurting the relationship? I think so. Yeah.
Well, I think we're so scared to lose things, actually, if we do
hold
a boundary.
Yeah, totally.
And it's not just in romantic things. It's in anything. Like, oh, if I actually tell this friend, you know, the truth and they're not going to want to be my friend, or if I tell my mom or my dad, and it's like a lot of us are operating from this place of withholding. And then that's not actually being in relationship. So I think we're all trying to like learn, how do I speak my truth?
Yeah.
And we all have places, men or women, that are bitches within us. I don't mean just weak bitches, but I mean bitchy, angry. Like, we all have places that we're not proud of, you know? Who cares? Like, that doesn't mean who cares, like, so go and yell at someone once again. And the whole point with what I was saying with the raw, like, because you were saying such a nice thing, is like, I've been through so many things and I've had the moments I'm not proud of. And I just keep coming back and being like, okay, how can I not? Because there's a part of me that sometimes is like, you know what? I'm not saying anything ever again. I'm shutting my mouth. I'm not, you know, and then it's like, no, I'm always going to be expressive. I'm always going to speak my truth. But I don't want to use that as an excuse to tear someone down, because I can feel into people's vibrations and soul songs. And I'm like, no, that doesn't give me the right to then, oh, I'm going to just speak my truth. Hey, you know, your dad did this and you're still angry. Like, you know what I mean? Like, that's not, or it doesn't give me a right to just break people down. So I'm still trying to find the balance of how can I express my truth and get that out with still being gentle and kind to them and meeting them where they're at. But it's tricky.
Yeah, there's definitely a balance that can be found or sought.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Man, being a human's exhausting.
Yeah. It's definitely a challenging experience.
Well, it's like, it's just funny because even when I look at you and I know that you've been talking about, you know, feeling exhausted a lot, and then yet you tell me all these things and products you've been creating, and then I speak to you and you have all this knowledge of spiritual stuff, and I'm like, it's so funny how, like, it's so clear to me that you're doing so much work, and it's the hanged man again. Like, you might feel that you're stuck and not moving as much, but on my end, looking in, it's like, oh my God, you're doing so much. Like, I can't even believe that people get to go to this website and like check out products you're making. Like, that's,
I do a lot of work from bed.
That's okay.
On my laptop, because, you know, can't make it to the cafe sometimes because I'm that tired, but, you know, hey, there's my bed.
But I'm right there with you. And I remember, you know, Tim used to tease me a lot about, not just Tim, actually, my ex, James used to tease me too. Like, I like working a lot from my bed. Mm-hmm. And the only reason why I think they teased me was because I was still judging myself. Like, oh my God, I can't believe I'm not working at a desk. And it's like, who gives a fuck? I'm getting my work done, but I'm comfy. And like, I think once again, it just shows, when you start getting okay with the places within yourself, other people can't even really do that. Because if they had teased, like, working in bed again, I'd be like, fuck yeah, I am. Like, most comfortable place in the building, bitch. Like, who's the smartest? And it's just funny that as you, like, claim that within, people can't even really make fun of you. It wouldn't even be fun for them if it's not hitting. Mm-hmm. But, I mean, it's still, and one of my favorite gurus, Maharaji Neem Karoli Baba, he was always laying down, you know, like, he had admirers that would come and talk. And like, first of all, that dude was like, I almost called my guru a motherfucker, which is incredible. But that dude was like teleporting. He could freaking change. Like, he could take like a handful of candies and change them vibrationally to have the nutritional content of raspberries. He was unreal. So, I mean, just like unreal enlightened. You could give him any kind of drug and he could take it and it wouldn't affect him because he was already vibrating at a different frequency. But he was always laying down, you know, and that's not saying I'm like him, so I get to lay down. But, you know, we're so hard on ourselves. This is what a 9 to 5 is supposed to be. You're supposed to be sitting up. You're, you know, says who? What if you want to lay down and get your work done? So,
yeah, no, I mean,
that's quite the rant for you just saying one quick sentence about from your bed. But
no, I actually really appreciate you saying that because I definitely have all the time this inner dialogue of, hey, what are you doing? You're supposed to be doing this and all of that. And again, I think it just comes back to compassion, you know, just like an acceptance. So. Yeah. I mean, if you're tired, you're fucking tired.
Yeah. Amen.
Like, hey, at least I'm getting my work done. And if I have to do it from bed, then, you know, that's what it is.
Yeah. We just judge ourselves so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. But just do what you got to do.
Yeah. Some days I look like a sloth because, you know, I'm like a bed troll. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess I didn't get into this very much, but yeah, I have been dealing with low energy for a while, and Kate was commenting like, what's with all these spiritual people being tired all the time? It's definitely a thing.
I think it's, you know, because I've been feeling into this a lot, and I'm like, I think it's a bunch of things. I think one thing is, as you dig all this deep stuff up, it can be tiring. And I think also a lot of us have overridden. Like, a lot of us probably wanted naps as either children, teenagers, working adults, but it wasn't even a possibility. So you had to override the parts of us that were saying, I need a break, I need to stop. And then when you finally do stop, it's almost like you need to like nap for 5 years straight to even just catch up to what your body's been trying to tell you. So I think that's one element. And then the other one is, I think sometimes that we think we're being more lazy than we actually are. I think naps are even part of like a child's day. Like, you look at a 4 or 5 year old who they have tons of energy, but it's in spurts. Mm-hmm. So it's like run around, conk out, run. And I think we think maybe that we're more tired than we are because we think, oh, this is a problem, instead of being like, oh, maybe this is actually how it is, where I have spurts of energy maybe for an hour and then I'm down for an hour up. And like, you can just look at animals outside too, where it's like, bunny rabbits, run. Oh, nap time. And so I think some of it too is just the judgment on what may be a natural pattern. And even in like Spain, they have siestas included in the day that we've like, you know, here in the US, it's like, no, you just work. Like, it's almost like disconnect from your body, override it. And I think a lot of us need to lay down and regenerate, re-energize. And I don't even think it's actually a problem, but we think it's a problem because it goes against the grain of our collective society.
Oh, absolutely. I'm finally starting to learn this valuable lesson of needing to find that balance of resting and doing. And we, you know, I think society, not to sound so cliche using that term, but society definitely has trained us to believe that we need to always do and go and produce and work. But that's why so many of us are burnt out.
Yeah.
You know,
it's like machines that have been, working too long. And then, but doesn't mean that I still think we will get more energy back, but it might coincide with more acceptance with the naps that will always be there.
I think so. I think definitely for me, I'm learning the lesson of balance right now.
Amen.
Yeah.
Well, Elizabeth, we did it. We, so first of all, thank you for coming on. This was such a
thank you for inviting me.
Of course. Where can people find you?
Well, yeah, you can find me on my website, themirrorpriestess.com. I'm a contributor with numerologist.com as well. I share monthly readings with them. And I also have a YouTube channel, and you can find me on Facebook and Instagram. I post some fun stuff on there from time to time. Yeah.
So find her and definitely check out her products. Like, she brought me some and I was like, yeah, first of all, she brought me some. But Shane, who loves Elizabeth, we all live together. He like stole all my stuff. He's yeah. like, mine. He was vibing hard with her products. So.
Yeah, he was trying to take your presents.
Yes, he was.
He's like, this is mine.
I told him he can share it. And he was like, so. Oh, guys, where to find me? Go to my website, thekatewolf.com. And thank you all so much for listening. Oh, and then Instagram, Twitter, @thekatewolf2fs. So, bye, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.